Luke chapter 2, where we come to the end of Luke's telling of the birth narrative, to a passage of Scripture really singular to the book of Luke, one that shares with us certainly an understanding of Christ's humanity, but also speaks for us a message of his sonship, that this is the Son of God. And certainly we see in this passage then a transition now into the focus perhaps moving away from those God would use as servants to bring the Messiah into the world, now to the primary place of the Messiah in fulfilling that which he had been called to do. And so we hear these words from Luke chapter 2. We begin our reading at verse 41, paying special attention to it because it is the word of God. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey, but then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Thus far, the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Children of God called to be saints, there might not be a more dreaded chore after the holidays, after Christmas is over, than, well, the taking down of all of those holiday decorations. And it's kind of sad, really. I mean, even going to the store the other day already, we've changed out. Even a day after Christmas, we're already ready for Valentine's Day. But at home, well, do we really need to take the tree down yet? I mean, we just put it up. But it's time. And after all that time and taking and planning and putting it up and planning where it will go and how this will look and how this will be, and it's all unceremoniously just taken up and seemingly thrown in a box and put away until next year. Or at least you wrap up those things carefully and you want to remember them. You wrap up the nativity scene and you wrap up the ornaments on the tree and you put the lights away and all of it is this big production, and then it's done. It's gone. It's over for the year just like that. And so along with those other boxes it goes, stashed into some far recess of the attic or the basement, perhaps to be forgotten. Well, that doesn't happen to us. I mean, we take these out every year. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't? You know what? Next year comes around, and it's just too much work. We're not going to be at the house anyway. We're going to the kids' house. Let them do all that. You know, we don't need to. And so you don't do it next year, or the next year, or the next year, or the next year. After a while, you perhaps forget what you've been given, what you have. Perhaps you even forget some of the ways that you celebrate. Maybe even for you, as the years continue to go on and that wonder of Christmas perhaps fades, maybe you still wonder, what is this about? What do we celebrate? Can anyone tell me what Christmas is all about? We forget. But then think that after all of those years, then you decide, let's do this again. And so you go and you move the piles and piles of things that have accumulated in the years since, and you move them away, and there it is. And you open those boxes again. You even see next to them that there's a gift that you got even 5 or 6 or 10 years ago, and you need it just as much as today, and you forgot about it. It's glorious. It's wonderful. And you unwrap those ornaments. Do you remember when we got this? You unwrap that nativity scene. Do you remember when we bought this and what we would do as a family and when so-and-so made this? And there's a new wonder of Christmas again. And certainly you turn back to that word again and you're mindful of what you've been given and what you have. You rekindle that joy, that wonder of the gift kindled in your heart and you praise God. You thank Him for it again in an almost entirely brand new way. You see, when we come to these closing verses of Luke 2, something's been forgotten. You see the manger and the stable, that's a long history. The wise men, the shepherds, they left a long time ago. What we're left with are Mary and Joseph. We're left with a baby. We're left with memories, perhaps, but here are two people who, after a time away in Egypt, come back to that small village of Nazareth in Galilee. They set up a fairly regular, an ordinary life. One of devout living, no less, or no doubt. One of having additional children. One of setting up their family. In fact, not much really is known beyond that in terms of the 12 years that have passed. But we know in coming to this text that Jesus has grown. Even there in verse 40, if we come before our text, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This was no ordinary boy, but he was treated that way. He was thought of that way. But now as he has reached an age of maturity and accountability, as those years for his ministry start to draw nearer, it was time for Joseph and Mary, for all of his people, and for us, even less than a week removed from our celebration of Christmas, to remember what we have been given, to remember the promise, to remember the greatest gift, better than anything stashed in the attic and found later, to remember what we have been given in Jesus Christ, the salvation he came to provide, that he was born and raised to accomplish. And so we see in our text that God's people are reminded of the gift they received at Christmas long ago. And that reminder comes as we examine their searching in verses 41 through 45 and their finding in verses 46 through 52. But you say, well, what does that have to do with it? Why is this text even here in the Scriptures? What does it say to us about who Jesus Christ is? Well, we need to consider searching as being a part of the reminder of the gift given to us Christians on Christmas, because if we think about those forgotten gifts long ago, we can't be reminded of something unless we go looking for it. We don't find anything unless we go looking for it. You see, Mary and Joseph that night, even that night 12 years ago, or roughly then, what they were given that night was awesome. They were given Jesus, the one who would save his people from their sins. They were given the Christ. They were given the Messiah, the one testified to not only by the angels and by the shepherds, but by Simeon and Anna as well. This is the one we've waited for. This is the fulfillment of the promises of the prophets. They were entrusted with this gift. Not only in terms of giving to him of their humanity and of their lineage, but to raise him. They were given the Son of God to raise. But how? How? Even the popular song, how can I raise a king? How can we, a young carpenter, a young maiden, how can we raise the Son of God? How can we raise a king? Well, they would do it the way they knew how. In searching out the will of God for their family. And in doing that, how would they raise this child? Devoutly and according to God's word. They would teach this child their righteous faith. Again, there in Luke 2, verse 40, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. How does this happen? They didn't just leave him. No. They cared for him. Jesus in his humanity needed to learn what we did. As children, we need to learn to crawl or to roll over first and crawl and then to walk, to be able to talk, to interact. Why isn't more written of those first 12 years? Because we know that. We know how he needed to grow up. He needed to learn that which we would learn today in school. It's because he was fully man. You see, we forget that sometimes. He had to come, fully man, to pay the price for our sins. And yet even he at all times would have been aware, even in some way which would grow along with his physical being, that he had been set apart. There was something different about him. Even his name being sounded would have been a reminder to him constantly of what he had been called to do. Jesus, come here a minute. Jesus, can you bring this here? Jesus, he shall save us from our sins. Constantly ringing out, but how? Maybe Mary and Joseph were still confused. Obviously they were. We don't even know how much did they bring it up. Oh, Christ is just doing that because he's the Messiah. No. Who knows? We don't need to. But if nothing else, they would have raised him in God's word. Raised him in an understanding of that devout nature of their faith. That's why they would have been chosen in part in the first place. As those who were still waiting for and searching for the comfort of God. Who were looking for the consolation of Jerusalem and Israel. Still waiting to see God. How are you going to use this child? How are you going to use this boy to do that which you've promised? How will you bring it about? Again, that word called them to be faithful to the law. That's why Jesus' parents were faithful to the requirement that all the Jews were to head to Jerusalem 3 times a year, according to Deuteronomy 16, verses 16 through 17. 3 feasts. Feast of Unleavened Bread, Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Not everyone was faithful to the command, though, because of finances or time. Most people only came once, and that was to the Passover. And so they went. Everyone was sure to come to Jerusalem for the Passover, even Mary and Joseph. Why? Because of what it meant. The Passover pointed to deliverance. The Passover, when everyone would gather, and that Passover lamb would be sacrificed. That blood spilled, a reminder of the blood placed on the door frames. That signaled deliverance from death. That time coming together to eat the unleavened bread and the bitter herbs in haste because of the deliverance that God had worked for his people. This was a big deal. A huge deal in the life of Israel. They would come together to celebrate past deliverance. But it needed to be more. They had been given more now. For what did the Passover point to? Not just the past, but what God still needed to do. Because all of Israel, all people still need what? They needed deliverance. They needed to be delivered from what Egypt came to mean. They needed to be delivered from sin. They needed something more. That should have been what drove their coming together. They should have been searching for it together, longing for it. Lord, send that which you have promised. But what did it become? Just a custom. This is when we come to see our Jewish family. It doesn't sound too much different from what Christmas has become in so many homes. It's not about what we should be searching for. It's about the custom. It's about the family. It's about the tradition. And so Mary and Joseph then were faithful to what they were called to. Faithful to going, presumably for the entirety of the feast, when many Jews only stayed for a day or two. But they had stopped searching. They had stopped searching to know what and when and how will it come in this child. They were not searching out that which they had been given. They were not searching out the promise or how it would be seen and worked in their son. And so they needed to be reminded. What you celebrate, what you live is more than that because of this child. Because they had in their presence the Passover lamb. Because they had in their presence the one who would save his people from their sins. And so such forgetfulness led to their need to search for the Son of God very literally. You're not searching, and so now he's not there. For a while they were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. And they didn't even know it. They didn't know it. That sense of what are you doing, Mary and Joseph, it's there. What? They didn't know it. They didn't know where the Messiah was. They didn't know where Jesus, the Son of God, was. Had they forgotten what they had been given and whom they had been given? They forgot their calling and responsibility. They forgot the Lamb, or rather, they left the Lamb in Jerusalem. They made assumptions about him. He'll find his way home. He'll be there in the group. He'll be there when we go to find him among our families. How could they do this? Again, did they not realize what they had in the promise? I don't want to let this boy out of my sight. In him is what we will see. In him is who and how we will see God bring his promise about. How could they do this? How could they be so careless with this gift? We cry out wondering, how can that mom, how can they lose their child in the supermarket or in the mall? That call of shame over the intercom. Hey, so-and-so, come and pick up your kid at the front desk. We don't want to hear that. How could you be so careless? The parent who leaves his child in the car while he runs into the store. Don't you know what you have? Don't you know what you've been given? Perhaps we've all felt the shame of hopping into the car and going to back out and realize that we left the baby bundled in the car seat on the kitchen table. What have we done? Have we forgotten what we've been given? And now they couldn't find him. Now they couldn't find him. His absence, not his presence, drives their searching. Imagine. And so they returned with haste to Jerusalem to search for their son, to find their son, God's son, their Savior, all because they were not searching for him in the first place. Had they forgotten the promise? Had they forgotten their gift? It was made known to them in his absence. Jesus Christ was the Savior. He revealed himself to his people as such. He was it. What would John the Baptist soon cry 12 years later? Behold the Lamb of God. He was there at the Passover feast. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was God's gift. And yet no one was searching for him. He would later need to be taken from them for 3 days that salvation could be brought. So that his chosen servants, instead of leaving him, fleeing from him, running from him, would search for him. He is risen, just as he said. Are we searching for the Lamb? Have we forgotten what's been given to us, what's been promised to us? Have our customs gotten in the way of searching for the Christ in our lives? Is he with us? Or have we left him somewhere? Have we forgotten him? Can he be seen in our lives and in our love? Or are we living as if everything's okay? as if Jesus will come around when he's ready, or living even as those who have forgotten him entirely. The prophet Jeremiah said, "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Mary and Joseph were called. We are called to fully searching for the Savior. May we not ever take our eyes off of him and his work and his love. For only in searching diligently is the Savior to be found. For at this point, if nothing else, we understand the anxiety, the panic in Mary and Joseph in their return to Jerusalem. And it's exacerbated by the fact, by wondering, where do we look? We lose our child in the mall. We know the last couple stores we went to. We lose our child in the grocery store. We know the last couple aisles we were in. 3 days. We have no idea. Where is he? He could have been anywhere. Perhaps they went and checked where they had stayed. Maybe they went to family and friends. Have you seen our boy? But the scriptures speak very little about the process because the word is now more fully drawing our eyes away from Mary and Joseph. And now placing the spotlight more squarely on Jesus Christ. It does so to tell us that he's the Son of God. Notice that even in the scriptures, it says that only after 3 days they found him. What a relief, obviously. But what else does it say? Where did they find him? In the temple, of course. In the temple, as if Luke is saying, how obvious could it be? He's in the temple. The temple is where God desired to be. The temple is where the boy who had grown and become strong, who was filled with wisdom and the grace of God, desired to be. It is why he had come to be that sacrifice. He was there to be about the work given him by the Father, to be there, to be the fulfillment of the word and promise of the law, the work given to him, the fulfillment that the teachers in the temple would have been discussing. He was the Word made flesh who dwelt among us, who tabernacled among us. Of course, this is where he would be. He would find the holy place. But it speaks to he who Mary and Joseph were seeking. You see, they weren't searching for the Son of God. They were searching for their boy. They were seeking their son. They were looking for their child, a typical 12-year-old. Where could he be? Yes, he would save his people from their sins in a way that they did not yet know. Yes, holy at his presentation in the temple unto a work they did not yet understand. He had been named the Christ. He had been called the Messiah. But he still didn't recognize that he was the Son of God. The Spirit will overcome you, will overshadow you, and the one who is conceived in you will be the Son of God. Mary, did you forget? What they lost sight of was that he was the very Son of God, that while they were his earthly parents, they weren't his only parents. That sonship is here for us. And was for them on display. Because what do we see? A 12-year-old sitting with the teachers in the temple. Why is this a big deal? The teacher sat and the student stood. Here is Jesus taking his place among the teachers already. A 12-year-old, no training. Full of wisdom and the grace of God. Here he is, revealing himself, sitting with the teachers, listening to them, asking questions, teaching and learning, and yet all they see is a 12-year-old boy. Open your eyes, open your ears, see the one who has come for you. Certainly they're amazed. They wonder, amazed at his teaching, amazed at his answers. But that's it. No proclamation of who he is. No proclamation of the one who has come. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and answers. Even now, the Son of God was at a place where he could have rightly taken his place among the teachers and scholars of Israel, already being prepared to bring the great message of the kingdom and of salvation, ready. But when his parents saw him, they were astonished, dumbfounded, couldn't get it, couldn't see him, didn't know. They were still searching for an ordinary boy. How many people do the same at Christmas? We'll sing about baby Jesus. We'll sing about the manger. We'll sing about the scene. But we'll not sing about who he really is. They have not searched for him, and they will not find him. It was a shocking reminder. Son of God was in their house. That he was exactly what had been foretold, exactly the one that had been promised to them. This was the Son of the Heavenly Father. And that shift in perspective begins in earnest now. He is the one. He is the center. He is the focus. But it's still not enough for Mary. She's still there pondering. She's still searching. Because it wasn't enough for her to have found him physically. No, she wants to understand. You see it in her questioning. She's upset. She's angry. How could you do this to us? Jesus, how could you do this to us? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress and anxiety. As if theirs was the problem. As if the issue was the distress to them, not to the child they had forgotten. We all do it. But what was happening here was a preparation for the ministry, for the future. For Jesus said to them, why were you looking? Why were you looking? Why were you searching for me? Why did you have to search for me? He had not left. They did. Why had the Christ done this to them? He could have answered them, why did you do this to me? But he didn't. He didn't. Why are you looking for me? Because you left without me. You left the Passover feast without the most important part, the Lamb of God who will save his people from their sins so that true and holy and righteous celebration can begin. And besides, why were you looking everywhere else for me? Why wouldn't you start here? You know me. You say you do. You should know that I'm here. Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Jesus Christ knew even now that he was the Son of God. He was cognizant of the task that he had been set apart to. He knew who he was. The one who would fulfill every word, salvation of his Father's chosen people. One already speaking as one with authority. Jesus is stating that he has been found. He has found himself. Here is the Lord. Here is the Messiah. He is announcing his place. He is announcing his person. But what does he find? What does he find? He finds a part of his suffering. for they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. His parents had searched for him and found him, but the only part that they could see was what they had found. They didn't find him, not yet. They didn't know him. He had come for them. He had come for all that the Lord had given to him, and they esteemed him not. They didn't know. They couldn't get it. They didn't understand or remember the gift, the word that they had been given so long ago in Bethlehem. But it shows the love of Christ. Jesus is meek. He is loving. He is humble. He is patient with his people. And being found, knowing who he was, knowing what he had come to do, yet he humbles himself before the Father. It is not my time. He humbles himself before his father and mother, going down with them to Nazareth again. And yet that word is working already as it is pondered in Mary's heart. And Luke signals the change for us. No longer a child. How is he as written? He is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, not the child. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. And he does so for another 18 years. Another time in which we have very little understanding, other than he was sinless. And he lived that way for us, according to the law, patiently waiting this time of his Father's choosing, even unto the day of salvation. You see, people of God, you've been entrusted with a gift at Christmas. You have been given the one who was promised. You have been given the one who has been revealed to us as the Son of God. Do you recognize what you've been given? Are you still in the right way, shocked and amazed by the fact that the one you have been given is the one who said, "For God so loved the world, that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life"? And do you believe the one given for you at Christmas then is this one? Are you looking for him? Do you know where to find him? Certainly he is with us. But where do we go? Where do we find him? Are we looking for him in all the wrong places? In self-righteousness or in sin? No, we find him here. We find him here. In the preaching of his word. In the house of God. Amongst the people that he is building up into a spiritual temple of his dwelling. And he has been given to you and is willing to do it. For he came. He humbled himself in these ways for you. He came to live and die and rise for you. That's what you've been given. That's what you celebrate in the gift of Christmas. And so don't set it aside. Don't stash it away. Don't forget. Don't stop thinking through that promise that has been given to you in his word, that you would know more of the Son who fulfilled it. Don't take your eyes off it or him for a minute. But rejoice that the truth and person has been revealed to you, so that by believing you may have life, eternal life in him. And if you don't know him, he is faithful. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you search for him, you will truly find him when you seek him with all your heart. Know that gift and receive it. And then praise God for the gift that we all have received in Jesus Christ, our Lamb, our Savior forevermore. Amen.